Key West, everybody knows about Key West. Boston, that's the major homosexual capital of the world. You know, they're having sex on the highways. Guys are parking. People can't even go into the restrooms in Boston. Of course, Washington, D.C. So,
not to mention the Oval Office.
Yeah, well, but at least, now I don't know about, I know that he is sick and he's addictive, but I believe that, you know, that you all will all disagree with me, but I live with Sarah McClendon, and Sarah is a senior White House correspondent, and I believe he was just addicted to sex, and I believe that he was put into that office to try and control him, but I believe that he has repented. I believe he had strong grandparents who loved him, who were Baptists. I have hope for that man. Now, I know a lot of people don't, but I do. And I have hope for that marriage. I know she's a strong woman. And I know a lot of men don't like a strong woman, and I believe she loves him. And I believe that basically he loves her, and I believe they love their daughter. And I will say one thing, that at least, you know, and who knows what their motives are. It's between them and God, but I'm glad it came out for their marriage.
Well, at least he's not, he doesn't seem to be homosexually inclined.
No, so we'll give this
that,
is it.
Give them that
the
much
guy,
credit.
And they don't like that, you see. That's why the little guy who's, you know, the little short guy, what's his name, the homosexual? Stenopoulos or... George Stephanopoulos. Well, I met him. See, I went into the White House as Sarah, and I met him. He's a little short guy, and I even saw the place, the Mambo Jumbo room, where he hangs out, right around the corner from the Ontario. Well, homosexuals are one thing. It's an abomination in God's eyes. It is an abomination. It's a weakness. It shows that they're very immature, and, you know, we all go through stages in life where we're immature. And I wish he would grow up. There's a whitehead who's an ambassador who's a homosexual. And his lover is one of Bill Clinton's attorneys from North Carolina. Now, I like the way that man thinks. He's a homosexual, but I like the way he thinks. James Angleton, CIA, was a homosexual. The head of the FBI was a homosexual. Paisley was a homosexual. They murdered him. All of the British intelligence agents were homosexuals. I haven't yet arrived at my theory on that, except that it is a weakness. It is a moral weakness. It's a way to control people. Now I say, look.
Makes them very controllable.
Yeah. I mean, tell truth. Because I've been in situations that I'm not proud of, and I will tell anybody what I've done wrong. I'm not embarrassed to say, you know, this or that. Because I've been in situations where I found out that this person, you know, I have to admit, I'm a sinner. But the point is, when you find out and you repeat the sin, you're addicted. They call it addictions. It's sin. And why is it sin? Because your weak nature, if you're in a position of leadership, you shouldn't be leading.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And admit your errors. And that's why I think Bill Clinton will be stronger out of this. He wants peace in Israel. That's what this is all about. He wants peace in Israel.
I did notice that when Hillary made overtures toward the Arabs, whoa. I mean, somebody yanked her chain, and that became a major issue.
I was living in Washington with Sarah McClendon in the Kennedy Warren before the election. If you will remember, a plane went down on his birthday.
On whose birthday?
Clinton's.
Okay.
I mean, I believe it was a plane. There was a traumatic... I went to his birth... He had birthday parties at 7 different places. Mm-hmm. It was his 50th birthday. The birthday party... In Washington, he was not there. He was in, I think, New York or some other place. But I went to the birthday party, which was in the Kennedy Warren, in the basement of the Kennedy Warren.
Okay.
A friend of mine went in for the birthday party. The point is, that night, I remember it vividly, there was a psychological terror thing for Clinton. It was either his plane that went down. Something happened that night that was meant to say, uh-uh, don't enjoy this birthday, buddy. Remember, we told you don't run. George Shultz came all the way from wherever he was. Sarah told me this. George Shultz came all the way from, I think it was California, to meet with Clinton before the election to say, don't you dare run. You're going to get it if you run. I know it. And that's from Caspar Weinberger is the guy who's the evil one. Caspar Weinberger pulls a lot of strings. He's the one because Caspar Weinberger is involved with a lot of the weapons and drug dealers, the hit squads that are run, the motorcycle gangs that Tedson Myers runs, who is William Colby's law partner, who just happened to meet me when I was with Sarah at the Smithsonian party. Marine, 4th Marine, who, they have this hit squad, motorcycle gang in Europe and everywhere. They call it a motorcycle society. But who runs it? Retired military guys. And just after they meet up at Caspar Weinberger's place up in Maine, Consuela Rice and Tedson Myers and one of the lawyers that Marianne Poor knows, the Motorcycle Society. Well, ask yourself, what do they do? What happens right after the Motorcycle Society meets? Now, they'll probably, now that they'll probably get this and find out, well, we've got to change the time when our Lady Diana is murdered. They have, because I read all the newspapers. I go into Barnes & Noble's and I, you know, of course they're going to cut out all the news and stuff. But they had a minor war in the Netherlands or wherever. They had another attack by motorcyclists on Cyprus. In other words, it's stirring up trouble, murdering people so that they'll sell the weapons. And
so you don't think Diana was murdered rather than just
Oh, absolutely.
A reckless
There's
car
no
accident.
Question she was murdered. I knew and sort of went out with a guy named Richard Ord.
Okay.
I later found out he was married. It was when I was single. He
this
was Prince Charles' bodyguard.
Before you married your husband?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He was Prince Charles' bodyguard. It's like I also went out with a guy who was divorced, a Marine who was MacArthur's wife's bodyguard.
Okay.
Who turns out to be an assassin, a Marine assassin, who's living in Virginia Beach, I think, now. But I didn't see the connection with Marines and information. Do you know what I'm saying? It's kind of a, I didn't know how organized it all was.
Okay, well, you gained that knowledge after you married your husband.
Yeah.
And then during his drunken stupors, he just blabbed and told everything he knew.
Yeah.
Actually, his alcoholism opened up the door for you to find out all this
Absolutely.
Stuff. If he hadn't been an alcoholic,
that's
course,
why I praise God in a way. I don't praise God that his mind is destroyed. And that he's a brutal, he hates women, kind of, you know, but I think, yeah, I praise God for everything I've gone through, because every I know by his stripes we are healed, because I walk in his shoes. I have to, as a follower of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
When you're punished, when you go through hell on earth, he is giving you strength, and in a it's not a funny sort of way. It's a very special way.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm going to die. I don't know how I'm going to die.
Well, we're going to pray that you stay alive.
But I love him. Yeah. And he's just given me all the strength. I'm a weak human being. But he is the truth and the light.
Mm-hmm.
And when you walk in the light, you walk with him.
Yeah.
And it's not bad, it's great.
It's marvelous. Tell you what, why don't we take our first break here?
Yeah.
And so we can, you might need to use the restroom. And,
yeah.
Your
angels.
Well,
your angels, my hands are wet because I got water.
Okay.
I put some water down my face.
Okay, all right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, clip on your... Clipped on there.
Okay.
Here we go. Good.
Right.
All right.
I know a lot about John Warner and Loretta Tate and stuff that is really kind of spooky because nobody's ever told this out loud.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he married Elizabeth Taylor.
Warner, yeah.
And he was...
Go ahead and sit back so we can get you right into frame here.
Yeah.
And?
He was... There were murders around him.
Uh-huh.
He was having an affair with Loretta Tate, which everybody sort of knows, who is married to a dentist, Randy Tate.
Okay.
Who is his secretary or his main person.
Mm-hmm. Hang on, so I'm going to have to make...
Randy mysteriously died. Randy died mysteriously. What happens is when the guys find out about the mob and that their wives are involved with it, the husbands take off. They go to the Eastern Shore or the closest they can to get away from Virginia Beach.
Mm-hmm.
But they die. There's a homosexual clique on Virginia Beach that I know about very well, which has to do with the Coast Guard, and it's a long story, but the point is, I don't know whether they're the ones who murdered Randy, but I suspect that Randy Tate was murdered. George Heilig is another one, I suspect, who was murdered, who was a delegate, very powerful guy, honest. He died, you know, very young. And Dick Obenshain, who was an honest candidate for governor. And Dick Obenshain was running for governor. He was the Republican candidate. He was an honest, honorable guy. Mysterious plane crash.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens after Dick Obenshain's plane crashes? Well, they have a little convention. It's conveniently right before the convention. You know, he's the titular guy. Well, Elizabeth Taylor comes into the picture. And never before, they just go right over Robert's rules and everything else. Elizabeth Taylor goes around, movie star goes around and says, I think you ought to nominate my husband. Well, he hasn't even been involved in the process. Dick Obenshain, who's honest, conveniently dies. John Warner comes right in there. They did not want Dick Obenshain in there because he was not controllable.
Warner was.
Same thing with Paul Tribble, who's a cousin of mine. Oh, I'm a Waring, and his family are Warings, and we're related.
Mm-hmm.
Paul was married to Rosemary Tribble. Well, there were some things that were going on, thinking that, in other words, Paul Tribble could not really totally be controlled. He was, they got rid of him. Rosemary knew a lot of stuff, and they get rid of the good guys.
Mm-hmm.
Murder, I believe that...
Well, don't they refer to this as Murder, Inc.? I mean,
yes.
Another name for...
Well, the Marine Corps are the assassins. The Marine Corps are the assassins for the mob. If you look at guys who've been in 4 years, let's just take Tedson Myers, for example. Now, he's a very nice person to talk to. He was involved with the founding of Peace Corps with Sergeant Shriver. He's from the Brooklyn Bayonne mob. He came from that group.
Mm-hmm.
They sent him to Ohio State. Then his fourth year, as I understand it, he did something like truck driving school.
Hmm.
Then he goes into Korea and becomes UDT.
UDT.
And then they underwater demolition, in other words, assassin.
Mm-hmm.
He's, very smooth. He marries a high-level gal, Sullivan.
Whoops. Something happened. Gal.
No matter what I do, never stop that tape.
Okay.
Because now we're out of sync with that camera. But all that means is that we'll just have to sync it again. So, I mean, it's not a big problem. But evidently, when I turned that camera on, I didn't hit. See, at a glance,
If you ever glance up there and see that red light's not on, we'll have a picture here and we'll have a picture there, but it will kick out on us eventually. So we're back on. Okay. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We're back. But just pick up where you left off.
Yeah. The mob in Virginia, Virginia Beach, is very, very strong, very well organized and connected with the military.
Yeah, well, you indicated before that there's a cop connection everywhere between the mob and military.
Absolutely.
The
military
New York or
is
San
run
Diego
by the mob. The military is the mob. The Marine Corps are run, they're the assassins for the mob. They may only be in, as Tedson Myers was, for 4 years, but the individuals then go on to truck driving, you know, truck loading school. They're always loading things and, you know, moving things around. But then they send him to Harvard Law School.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then he winds up, when I met him, or just actually, I met him after Colby's murder. But I find it rather unusual that I had spoken with William Colby, the head of the CIA, mm-hmm. who knew my husband well, who told me on the phone all of this stuff about the Phoenix program and Israel and all of that stuff was coming out, and that he was going to be doing it.
Okay, your husband told you.
No, William Colby on the phone. And Tedson Myers was across the hall from him.
Okay, so was William Colby
murdered?
A good guy from the get-go, or
yes,
was he?
He was a good guy.
One of the insiders they needed to get rid of, or was he?
He was an insider who was involved. He knew about my husband's involvement with Krulak, Victor Krulak, Al Gray, the Russian double agent who was, I believe, Czechoslovakian or Georgian, who was called the Commissar, who was running everything in Vietnam. He was the murders, the assassinations. My husband was involved with the murders, the assassinations. He was involved with teams that did that. They were training boys to kill,
okay,
using
again,
mind control, using...
The whole reason for Vietnam or any of these conflicts is simply to use up a lot of arms and make money.
Yes.
Basically, that's
yes.
all there is to
and
it.
To train more killers.
Mm-hmm. To use more weapons.
Absolutely.
To make more money.
Yeah. It's a sick, sad, little adolescent boy cycle. These are not grown up. These are little men from Oz. That's what I call them. Al Gray is a sick little man.
Al Gray is a
general. Was the former commandant of the Marine Corps. Mm-hmm. Carl Mundy is a sick, pathetic, lying little man.
And he is?
The former commandant of the Marine Corps. Then you have Krulak, who is a son of an agent, of a double agent, Victor Krulak. Not American. These are men who... The Constitution is just beneath them. People like me, their wives, and citizens like you and honorable people are just beneath them because they're special. They're elite, just like the German SS. That's exactly where this specialness came from, Germany, from Nazi. In other words, they took with them the most perverted aspect of Nazi Germany, brought it over to the United States because over 200,000 of these guys came over, and of that there were some who were existentialist, humanist, anti-Christians. They hate Christians.
Mm-hmm.
You know what happened to the cross of the Weimar Republic was turned this way. Hitler was homosexually recruited in a brothel. He was working in a little brothel. A Kabbalist, Zionist doctor came in and said, oh, you look special and great. And in other words, he was one of the many like Oswald who could be used.
Mm-hmm.
And they see how they grow rather than see how they go. They see how they grow, manipulate them. This is why they have so many, the Army has so many psychological operations specialists. And the one way to keep them is secrecy. And anybody who believes that Jesus Christ, I mean, everywhere you read in the Bible, he talks about openness.
Mm-hmm.
Truth is light. You walk tall. You don't hide behind trees and be the snake,
mm-hmm.
you know, in Adam and Eve and be deceptive. Truth frees you.
Mm-hmm.
Truth is a liberator. It's your ally.
And the power of their operant conditioning is all in secrets.
Yes. That's the one way to tell if they're evil, if they're weak, if they're cowards or bullies. Mm-hmm. The one way to tell the cowards and the bullies who are now at the very top of the Army, the Marine Corps, the Navy, Gaiman, Hartzog, Abram, Krulak, especially Charlie Wilhelm, who's doing awful things with, you know, men and women.
Charlie Wilhelm, again, he is.
Charles Wilhelm, I met in Norway.
He is one
of his closest friends besides Michael O'Boyle.
Okay,
they're
and these
called
are all
Perry Marines.
Marines.
Yes.
Generals?
Now he's a general, because they rise to the top.
Mm-hmm.
If they're one of Gray's boys, and I talked before I went public, I went to colonels and wives. And boy, I mean, I had conversations, and I'm not going to mention their names, but I had wives tell me when I first found out, and a wife said, it was the most cryptic conversation I've ever had in my life. I said to my blank friend, have you ever had another wife? She said, hundreds of times. Her husband was a very important person.
Mm-hmm.
Very important. So he's working now for Al Gray. Al Gray is so, he pulls the strings. It's all New Jersey mob. Where do you think Al Gray was born? Right outside of Atlantic City. My husband was born in Atlantic City. Sheehan's father was in the mob. You remember that big concert that they had back in the 60s where everybody was smoking pot and they were doing experiments on young people?
Mm-hmm.
They had all the public...
Guess who did
all the flying in of all the bands and the drug dealers and everything? Who arranged it all? General Sheehan's father.
Oh,
and
Woodstock?
This is the head.
You're talking
Woodstock. Woodstock, New York. That's where he's from. Now, isn't that unusual that the head of NATO would be... And his brother is doing all kinds of weapons deals and selling things to the military. And I went to his wife's home. They lived in the Virginia house after my husband disappeared.
Well, was Woodstock a kind of
a testing ground for
experiment.
Drugs.
Okay.
Of course, it was just an experiment. Like the Jim Jones thing down there in...
Canada.
Yeah, that he was working. I think even little David Koresh was used because he had a Mossad, he had an Israeli agent. They always get away, don't they? The Israelis always are in there, but they get away, don't they? Mandela. I don't mean Mandela. The guy in Panama.
Noriega.
Noriega had he was an Israeli double agent. Anybody who is Jewish is automatically a member of the army, Israeli army.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They have a joint relationship. How can they be loyal to America if they will shoot ships like the Liberty,
mm-hmm.
and it's covered up?
Mm-hmm.
I dated Lawrence Geiss's son when I was a teenager. About the time I went out with the governor here and
John Engler.
I'm sure if he was in the
ROTC
class, I dated him, and I got letters from him. He seemed like a really nice guy. But my love at that time was Tom Williamson.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom Williamson was a Yalie. His real father was killed in World War II. His mother, who was a Ballantyne, Admiral Ballantyne's daughter, a wonderful person, married Lawrence Geiss, who was a captain, and then he became an admiral. And I went to the change of command to the Forrestal. I really did like that family very much. And being a Norfolk girl, old Norfolk, you know, grandfather was in naval intelligence. He retired a captain in the reserves, military doctor, very prominent family, you know, and I lived next door to my grandparents. I was sort of the good to date this girl, you know. She's mm-hmm. a lot of fun and stuff. So I dated Tom, and I went to Yale to visit him and so forth, with Bob Tate and some of the guys up there. Well, Captain Guy, Admiral Geis, took over the command of the Forrestal. He was the head of the whole, everything for the military when the Liberty was bombarded by the Israelis.
Right.
And one of my best friends, Josie Lennon, Josie Toth Lennon, you talk about a wonderful, she's been through a lot, woman. I've learned a lot of information from her. Josie's brother was on that ship.
Did he survive?
Of course, no, he was murdered. He was a rising star, brilliant young
boy. I think about 30-some guys died on the SS Liberty, didn't they?
Yes, he was one of them. It's now being run by a group that's holding it down. You know, they don't want it. Why don't you? Those Israelis, and yet every Jewish person who's in the military is a member of that, army, whatever it is. Now, something is very strange here when you have the whole State Department, not one Christian, not one Protestant, in the Near East section, not one Muslim. Why not? They have Jews there. We have Muslims in the Navy. Why are there no Muslims in the Near East section of the State Department? Why are there no born-again Christians or real honest people who are not under some chain of command? Why don't we have anybody who can decide right and wrong, who has to be interpreted, you know? Something is strange when you have a State Department that is run by Israel. There's something really strange. It's no wonder there's no peace. Do they want peace? No. They want to control all those little countries around there. And there was an interesting dinner that I had over at Carolyn Millis's house with the Marine wives and some of the I don't know what they really are, but I thought they were wonderful until this night. And I was really caught into this. I was getting into this cult. You know, don't talk. Don't talk about the go-go dancers because your husband's career, you know, even though, don't tell this, don't tell that, quiet, you'll get, you know. We were sitting around the table, and we always would do prayers before dinner. And there was a woman there, and she was from Pat Robertson's place. She was married to a Jewish guy. And I'm not saying that he was bad. I think I met him once. They were at Carolyn's Christmas party. But it was right after, was it Begin who was killed, or who was shot? The prime minister, the president of Israel.
You know, my line's blank.
I know, it's either Begin or... whatever. Anyways, right after that, and it's further thing from my mind, you know, I was thinking, oh, great dinner, you know, this is great. So this woman said, and we were in the middle of the prayer, and she said, oh, just thank you, Jesus. I thank you, God, that you killed Begin. We just praise you for that. You know, this is an evil man. We just praise you, God, that you killed so-and-so.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there. You know, I've traveled, been 20 times to, you know, England and Scotland and known all these NATO people and so forth. And I'm thinking, what did I just hear? Thank you, God. Jesus killed the head, you know, because he wants peace. This is the guy who got the Nobel Peace Prize with Arafat. And I'm going, what? So what do I do? This is one of these moments, these crossroads moments where you have to take my culture, which is Southern Protestant, right. I have to say something. I'm over 50 now. I'm not shy anymore. You know, I've got 6 grandchildren, so forth. I said, just in my nice little way, I said, what? What did you just say? And then Carolyn Miller says, well, we just, you know, he's really, you know, I said, wait a minute, didn't he just sign the peace? It was like they knew something I didn't know.
Right.
And I was trying to say, what? Wait a minute. And I looked around at everybody, and it was like, I'm an outsider. I said,
hang on. I'm going to adjust this mic.
All right. Too loud.
Nope. No, but just every now and then, this sleeve makes contact with it. Oh. And when it does that, it'll go...
Okay. So I said, wait a minute. I had to get him to, like that go-go dancing thing.
Yeah.
I had to interpret Jesus for them. Because these are supposedly followers of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I want to get this straight. Do you all mean to tell me that you all are for the murder of a man who wants peace in the Middle East? Just, you know. And Carolyn Millis, always the one, you know. Well, you know, of course, so and so and so. You know, And I said, well, wait a minute. I think you're wrong. Because Jesus Christ would have been behind peace in the Middle East and so forth. Well, I was just, you know, you can't trust her anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't going along with the program of whatever Israel wants to do, if they want to kill Palestinians, if they want to sabotage, because George told me that that's what they do. They do a lot of sabotage. They train. They take men who are Jordanians, Iranians, Iraqis, sons of leaders, and they bring them over here, wine them and dine them,
mm-hmm.
and then rev them all up to hate their parents, and they give them weapons. They what they do is they feed their ego. This is intentionally done, according to my husband, by the Marine Corps. I mean, it is a. They train them. They take them.
Well, this is an interesting point. Things that your husband has told you specifically about the training techniques, this is, right from his mouth, this is mm-hmm. what is done.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Intentionally, because the objective is to get the goal, whatever it is they want, Machiavellian or, you know, Clausewitz. And, of course, my husband was reared. He was suckled on Proust, Sartre, Camus. If you want to read his thesis, it's in French. It was written by Todeve, and, you know, but it's at the Princeton University library. You can read what my husband believes. Now, this is the chief of staff of the Marine Corps. This is a guy who writes with a purple pen, which means homosexual,
mm-hmm.
arrogantly so, writing with a purple pen. Al Gray, he's working under Al Gray, called Gray's Boys. This is what they call them. Gray's Boys, all homosexuals, Cherry Marines. There are books on Cherry Marines that I've got. Everybody knows about Cherry Marines. Now, if you have to be a Cherry Marine to get to the top, and then you read about Krupp and the German High Command, and you know that they're using the same word, special, special,
mm-hmm.
you know that they changed the eagle to be the colonel and the captain, you have to get an eagle. And that started in when all of these people started coming over to change the America to be generic, no more of a Christian nation.
Mm-hmm.
And that started the head of the Marine Corps, who was a Kabbalist, Zionist,
mm-hmm.
in the 1860s, 1850s. You can do your research. When did they make change the Marine Corps emblem from being, I think it was a bugle, to having an eagle on top of the world? And who was the commandant when that happened? Ask that question and find out the answer. And then wonder, like I do. And George told me, he said, you know, we've always been the murderers. He said, you know, why do you think we have the red line down our pants? And that he said, now we, because he was trying to interpret for me. We have this X on top of our hat or something. You know, it had something to do with target practice. I spoke to his uncle, Dick Griggs, who also works for the mob, the intelligence community. It has something to do with the schools. They have money, limitless money. I believe it's mob money for poor boys to go to these fancy schools. Uncle Dick has a little computer like Roger Oberndorf does.
Uncle Dick.
George's uncle, Richard Griggs, who became his father because they were trying to get him away from his father. He was away from his parents for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
His uncle handled him. His uncle is getting money from this group. He used to be just a school teacher in Princeton. But he has two sons, Bob and Jeff, who are like my husband's brothers. Now, what does Bob do? That's the question of the century. What does Bob do? Bob handles an account for my husband. And I started asking questions about, where is this? Bob moved from Princeton, then he moved down to Oklahoma City. He was near that Augusta Golf Club, and now he's in Colorado, and he's handling this account that George has money in. And I see papers of my husband's after Beirut. In other words, he'd done a job, and it was a civilian job. Now, here's a colonel in the Marine Corps doing a civilian job, TAD. It's where they go off and do a job, okay, sort of undercover. They get a new... George says he's had so many different passports with different names. I'm getting mail from an Engelhard. He's got accounts now for an Engelhard. I get mail from Princeton private account. From Merrill Lynch is involved with the mob. They have rogues in there who launder cash money. They have people who launder cash money in Norfolk. I know some of the people who handle the cash.
Now, your husband...
Drug money's in cash.
Your husband is Jewish?
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no. He's a German. He's the son of a German family. But his father was in Atlantic City doing very shaky things. In fact, his father, Ray, was a weak, precious little man, and I liked him. Nobody listened to Ray. The mother ran everything. The mother was strong, domineering, bossy. And I must say, she was not attractive, but Ray was handsome. They married. They had three boys. She had to get married, the older brother. But in those days, it was very embarrassing, Well, Ray didn't have anybody. Ray was essentially an orphan as such, although he had lots of brothers. But let me tell you what Ray told me. I was in California with his mother, George's mother and father, staying at his brother Don's.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, the world revolved around mother. But Ray had a lot of wisdom there, and I was anxious to know what really went on in New Jersey, why they left New Jersey, why they left Atlantic City, what happened in Lawrenceville, why George was put in this school and not seen for 8 years.
What did happen?
All right. It had to do with the fact that they were poor and desperate, that the sister, Rhoda's sister, George's mother's sister, married someone high up in the intelligence community who was he went to the Presbyterian school or something like that. But Ray had been in prison. George's father had been very shortly in prison in New York. And this is, you don't talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Ray had seen his mother run over by his father with the girlfriend in the car who wound up being the stepmother. Mm-hmm. You don't talk about that.
All right.
There were seven boys, I believe. Ray was right in the middle. All of these pictures have disappeared from my house. Supposedly my husband has never come in to the house. All of this, the pictures of assassins like Rockland Williams and, you can't believe the things that are slowly being taken out of my house. Why?
Well, obviously, so that your credibility can be attacked if you ever tell anybody about this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a miracle you got up here with the pictures that you did.
Yeah.
That we're including in this video.
Absolutely.
That supports your credibility. It's just a shame that this video wasn't made a year ago.
I know.
Or 18 months ago.
Yes. Because pretty soon they'd have me not even married to George Griggs. Now.
They could destroy all the records.
Of course.
And it's possible to do that.
Of course.
Because I think it was Orwell said that he who controls the past controls the future, and he who controls the present controls the past.
Absolutely.
So those who control the present can modify the past any way they want. In fact, they could erase you right
out of
the
future. Why do you think we're in computers and everything's on computers? All they have to do is... I had tapes that I bought a little Radio Shack tape, and I taped General Gray's, the conversation with Gray's wife, mm-hmm. Jan, mm-hmm. Who said, oh, we don't know where George is. We don't know. And I talked to General Gray on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't know where my husband is, and he's working for Charlie Wilhelm now,
mm-hmm.
what does that make Al Gray? After I've been battered,
mm-hmm.
and I'm calling, I've got pictures of bruises,
mm-hmm.
hematomas, broken foot, putting a 45 to my head, laughing at me while he's standing over me with my arms in pain, chasing me in bathtubs, you know, from hiding and saying, please don't kill me, while he's laughing.
Mm-hmm.
I have took diaries and so forth. Why do they want my diaries? Why don't they want my evidence in the court of this? And I've got it right there for Judge John Moore, who's a commando. Why does John Moore kind of giggle at me? Why, you know, what is so funny about being battered as a wife when his first wife is dead in the grave?
Well, what's funny to them is that it doesn't matter what your claims are, they're in control.
That's it.
The chickens can do anything they want as long as the foxes are all in goose.
That's it. And why I have a transcript at the first commissioner's hearing, and Colonel Barry Cantor, who is a Kabbalist, who lives right around the corner from T. Parker Host, who's a commando assassin mob guy, brags about it, who's now has about 7 or 8 agencies and is a friend of George Bush's all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
Barry Cantor, his office is right next to George Sharp, and they are persecuting me in courts right and left, and it doesn't matter what he says. It's like he's just totally, you know, so it doesn't matter. We'll just ruin you.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so I find another lawyer, and his name is Doug Ballard. What's his name? Up in Washington gave me Doug Ballard's name. And I thought this, I still think he may be an honorable guy, and I'm trying to remember his name, because he's talking about a lot of the stuff that's going on, but...
Ballard is a name that has connections to the Deep South.
Well, Doug Ballard went to VMI, and I knew Doug Ballard because he was a law partner of Philip Purrington, whose brother Charlie I knew, and I liked Charlie Purrington.
Mm-hmm.
He was, when I was dating my first husband, John Pollard, they were best friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I went out with Charlie a couple of times, but I was, you know, I was making my debut, and, you know, I was kind of, Charlie was just a good friend, and still I like him. And I introduced him to his wife, and they're still married, and she's a Carolinian, he's a Carolinian. Well, Doug Ballard was in law practice with Phil Purrington. Well, so I went to Doug Ballard, and I heard he was a Christian. And I got the information from Paula Ballard about Openshain's murder from Paula Ballard. And because Paula was very involved with the Republican Party back when Openshain was running for governor. They were insiders. He was an Army intelligence person who was doing business with the Saudis. He was up in Washington with Oliver North and that whole crowd. Doug Ballard was doing business, illegal business, money laundering. But I was attracted to him because General Ben Parton said, maybe this guy will help you.
Benton Parton.
General Ben Parton,
mm-hmm.
gave me Doug Ballard's name.
Do you think Ben Parton is a good guy or a bad guy?
Well, I don't know. I don't know, because what I was set up, or maybe he didn't set me up, but I went to Doug Ballard,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, he's a shyster. This
Ballard.
Guy is crooked as they come, or either very weak, and I think that goes along together.
Mm-hmm.
I told him about the things that had happened to me, and keep in mind, he's Army.
Mm-hmm.
He's Army Colonel.
Ballard is.
VMI, but I didn't know what I now know.
And VMI again is?
Army. Kabbalah. You know, it's...
But VMI stands for something.
Virginia Military Institute.
Oh, okay.
And...
Because Benton Parton is very well known in certain circles now challenging the Oklahoma City bombing.
Okay, well then I believe in him. I think he just didn't know what I know about Doug Ballard. I think because I think he heard Doug Ballard went to this born again church and his wife is all this born again, which is great. Mm-hmm. And I'm because I'm born again, but let me tell you what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I mean. And they may have been persecuted. They did go through some persecution. But what happened was, and maybe they know too much, but what happened to me was this, because he is part of the Brotherhood,
mm-hmm.
Doug Ballard is. I trusted him with my file. See, Barry Cantor, my husband's lawyer, is an Army colonel. Ballard isn't colonel. The judge... John Moore is a colonel. The commissioner, two of the first commissioners were colonels. Andrew Aggie, who is mixed up with Crooks in Virginia Beach, he's a commissioner in Virginia Beach. Then there is the first one we were going to get. No, Aggie was the first one we were going to get, Army Colonel Reserves. Then there is the former Commonwealth Attorney, Andrew Evans. He's in the Masons, and I just talked with his wife not long ago, and she was shaking her head like, yeah, I know all this stuff. I know all this stuff. Well, there's a brotherhood. And Andy Aggie and Andrew just Evans, who is Commonwealth attorney, they're part of this brotherhood. And they were going to judge the case
mm-hmm.
for me. Then we get the third guy, who was in the House of Delegates, Ned Caton. He is a Coast Guard JAG intelligence guy. So finally, we choose Ned Caton to go because he had done work for us, and I don't think that's really right. The point that I'm trying to make is that every single one of these men who were judging a battered wife, almost killed, first wife dead, do something with the husband, bring up the battering.
Mm-hmm.
It's handled. We go into his quiet, secret office. I think I have a lawyer giving him $1,500. And he's one of these society lawyers. And he doesn't want to mention anything about the abuse for some reason. And I'm sort of being flim-flammed, you know,
Well, this is part of the divorce proceeding, or yeah, did you bring a separate cause of battery? Or this
I
is
did
all
the battery. See, I started everything.
So you filed a criminal charge?
I filed a criminal charge.
Of battery?
Battery.
Okay.
Because, you know, you're indoctrinated to believe that if your husband's a perpetrator,
mm-hmm.
my husband is a gross perpetrator.
Okay.
And...
So you were seeking civil damages against him?
No, all I did was take out a warrant to have him brought back.
I see.
And that's when the 20-year Marine police officer came in, the 20-year Marine FBI agent came in, when I went to the police chief of the police, Chief Wall, who's a very nice man, I have a friend who got me in to see him.
Mm-hmm.
He said, this is big. This is way over my head. But he assigned a wonderful man named Bill Dean to me to
mm-hmm.
call anytime. And I must say, this is a wonderful man. I could call Bill Dean
mm-hmm.
anytime. And, I mean, there are some good people, probably in the Masons, I don't know. But there are some good people. But the problem was, he can't control it. Now, why, if you're a Mason, why can't you control battering of military wives? That's the question I ask myself. Why is it that that they cannot control a perpetrator who's killed his first wife, and I've nearly been murdered.
Well, the answer is hierarchy.
Okay. Right. So I start saying now, in Virginia Beach, if the chief of police has no power, if Bill Deans, who's head of the CID, has no power, I'm looking and wondering, okay, I'm a battered wife, and I start meeting other high-level battered wives in the courts who are having the same treatment by Judge John Moore and Barry Cantor and Andrew Agee and Grover Wright, who battered his first wife, Lynn. They spread the word that she's crazy. Lynn Wright is not crazy. Grover Wright was running around with Ann Wood and wound up marrying her, and Ann Wood is now a blimp. Grover Wright is a perpetrator. John Moore is a perpetrator. He's now married to a girl who's in my garden club. And, you know, he was a commando, guerrilla. His father was a general in the Coast Guard, which the mayor's husband is a colonel, a captain in the Coast Guard.
So there really is an elite clique that runs everything.
Absolutely.
Controls everything.
And it's not the CIA.
Is there a name we can give this group?
Well, George calls it, in his diary, he calls it Members of the Firm. He called it Brotherhood. He mentioned the old guard, Army. It's Army. And it's White House.
Did George ever talk about...
But the presidents don't know about it necessarily.
Okay. Did your husband ever talk about Oswald in terms of knowing anything about his handlers or how that was?
Yeah, the way George talked about Oswald was the way when you communicate with an alcoholic like that when he's drinking and he's been totally battered, mind controlled, but is fed lots of money, being poor and so forth. A woman, 55% of what people say is verbal. And then you learn to read the nonverbal. George's diarrhea of the mouth. Verbal. But when I mentioned, it's like when I mentioned the word General Jim Joy, I knew it was General Jim Joy who had authorized the terrorism of my life. I know it is General Jim Joy, General Carl Steiner, General Hartzog, General Abram, General Damon, and Sheehan. I know. And Krulak. These men are the ones who are perpetrators. They bugged my phone, downloaded my caller ID. They have authorized and given money to people like not Tedson Myers, but certainly Alexander Robinson, Earn Reynolds, 4th Marine, JAG, worked for the Justice Department. The Justice Department is involved. There are rogues in the Justice Department who think they are handling people by using cruelty, tricks, psychological games. This is not the way you handle a nation. Women know this.
Right, but you mentioned New Orleans as kind of a center of mob
mind control, illegal criminal activity.
Did your husband ever mention any of the people there in?
Yes, he did. In fact, he went down there.
Okay.
He went down there with General Gray, with Michael O'Boyle.
During the time of '63.
Oh, he was always going down there, Michael O'Boyle was going down there.
Well, your husband was a young man at that time, maybe in his late
20s. He was going down there in the 80s.
Okay.
When he was going down there, and because I found some things in his papers, because Sue, his first wife, was such an alcoholic, and I have a letter from my husband which admits that he was begging her on to drink. Mm-hmm. Why would one do this if one loves a wife?
Well, it made her easier to put up with.
Yeah, yeah. She was catching on. See, this was the time that all of this Iran-Contra stuff was coming out. The murders, there were things going on with Gorby, what's his name is. Sue had met all these people.
Oh, Gorbanov.
Yeah, he was a friend of my husband's. They were dealing. See, my husband was a middleman with the weapons deals. He went to London, and Mary Clark Yost, Halab, she was Halab, now she's Yost.
Okay.
Is involved with the weapons sales business because they went to London. My husband went to London with some of the Marines, with Chuck Shelton, Tom Reap, Bill Ainsley, Al Gray. I don't know whether Dan Devinney went. I don't know whether Bob Redlin went. But Bob Redlin and Dan Devinney told me that my husband was dangerous. This is when I was dating him.
Okay.
Said, you please be careful. Well, I thought they were just jealous. You know, I thought, because I had gone out with Bob Redlin, but Bob Redlin was a major.
Okay.
Anyway, this is it. Oh. Bob Redlin was a major, and Dan Devinney, Bob Redlin was a lieutenant colonel,